Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I would say sometime around the age of 20 to 24 before my official and everyday career in sales began, doing different jobs, I had a friend of mine that was about a year or two older, and he graduated from college. I believe he went to Iowa State. He played football. He was a big guy. But not looking at a career in football, he secured a position as a sales rep for a manufacturing company out of the Twin Cities. Now, I don't know the name of the company nor what they manufactured, but the odd part about the whole thing was that struck me at the time that I did not understand was that he had to literally pick up his entire family for 8 weeks to 12 weeks and move them to Michigan to train for this position, when his territory was literally going to be right around the Twin Cities and Iowa, where he was born and raised. And that somehow to me didn't make any sense. Why would you do something like that? I mean, can't you handle it in 2-3 seminars and sleep in your own bed at night and not have to pull everybody up? But that's what he did. And as fate would have it, having a brother and a sister that lived just north of Detroit, work took me there while he was in training. So literally only being 6 or 7 miles away, I was able to join them for dinner one evening. And I asked him, I said, what's going on? I said, what's this all about? And throughout the course of that 2 to 3 months, he was literally physically working in every single part of that company. In every single stage of the manufacturing process of the products that he would sell, he was getting his hands dirty. So he could actually look at a customer in the future and have some idea of how all this was put together. And more importantly, what he was doing was, is he was putting faces and names with the things that he would be selling. Real people were making these things. And it would give him support in having a contact number and someone that he could talk to. Because once this process was over, once he was given his territory, once his training was over, he became the face of the company. And at that point, I did begin to understand that. And of course, later on in life, it was really driven home in my own career, visiting 4 or 5 different manufacturing plants within the United States and Canada. And you started to put people behind the process and behind what was being made. And it truly made you a better representative, not only of the product, but of the company. It gave you that depth, but it also gave you that sense of team behind you. Made a huge difference. Took a while for me to understand it, but it made a huge difference. We don't know a great deal about Jesus' upbringing. There's very, very little in the Gospels and in the Bible about Jesus' youth, about his teenage years, about what he did. We have a brief glimpse of him at about 12 years of age. Otherwise, we jump from a lowly stable and manger in Bethlehem to Nazareth to this baptism. And we tend to wonder what was going on. I'll venture a guess. He was an obedient child. He loved his mother and father. To say that he was the son of a carpenter and possibly a carpenter, I don't think would be inaccurate. My father was a flooring installer. I'm still a flooring installer. It's what I do. But I also think that he was watching, that he was observing, that he saw the hopelessness of the world, that he saw the pain and suffering and the struggle of everyday life. Different then, but the same now. This is what he witnessed. And there were faces and there were names of people in his life, just like there are people in ours. And then the day came for his ministry to begin. And he came forth to John, the one that would precede him to be baptized. Now, one of the things that most commentaries this week in preparation for a sermon said, don't get stuck on why Jesus had to be baptized. There have been people and theologians that have been discussing that for centuries, and they're still discussing it. Why did he have to be baptized? Wasn't he the Son of God? He was announced as the Son of God, as Emmanuel among us, at his birth. What was the need of the baptism? What did it accomplish? It was a baptism of repentance. We understand that Jesus was without sin. A lot of questions there. Questions that people, again, have been asking for centuries. But I will offer you two things today that I glean from this. First and foremost, this needed to take place in such a public way is because Jesus was not a prophet. Jesus was not John. Jesus was not Moses. He was not Elijah. He was not Isaiah. He was nothing like any of the Old Testament prophets. Jesus was the Son of God, the beloved Son of God, and stated so publicly by God the Father himself, "This is my beloved Son. He is set apart." He is not a prophet. So we know right there, from the very words from heaven, that we've got something completely different standing before John in Jesus right at that moment. But the second thing that happened on that day, I believe, that I truly believe, and that is that where Jesus showed us and led us what it means to be truly human. Because although repentance was nothing that he needed to do, he took on our sin, he took on our guilt, he took on our brokenness and brought it with him to the river and lowered himself to be united with us in that baptism of repentance that we might be united with him in his death and his resurrection. And in that death and resurrection, he took away the fear of struggle, the fear of pain, the fear of death, and gave us a promise of hope. Hope that as he rose from the dead, that we would too. This, by many accounts, was his first public act in his ministry to lower himself to be united with us in a baptism that, by all accounts, he didn't need, but in a baptism that we did. And it was the final preparation for him to go out and be God among us in a ministry that would lead him to suffering and death. The face of God among us. I brought this up special today. Because you see, where John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, in and through Christ Jesus, we have gained a baptism of water and the Holy Spirit. And throughout life and the actions of the Holy Spirit and this water that we see, it too prepares us in more ways than we know to be the face of Christ on earth, to be the face of the church on earth. Yes, we're still broken. Yes, we have days when we struggle. Sin is still a part of who we are, but it's not the big part. It's not the part that lights the world. This, in Christ Jesus, is what we are called to be. We are called to be that face in and through the baptism that he gave us, to share that good news with all those in need. So, we are reminded in the water. And today, whether I was supposed to or not, I had this candle lit, the Christ candle, the candle that we light at baptism, that we light at Easter, that we light at funerals. That light in which we baptize, and we ask one another, and we ask those that sponsor babies to go out into the world and be that light. Be Christ's light to all. Throughout his ministry, Through his baptism all the way to his resurrection, Christ is preparing those of faith to be the face of his church, to live in and through his baptism, his death, and his resurrection. That's our call. That's who we are. How we embrace that, how we move forward, is as individual as we are from one another. But it's an individual call nonetheless. To live in and through your baptism, to be the light of Christ in the world, to be that light and ray of hope, and share that with others. That's our calling. That's what we've all been prepared for in and through baptism. Called as priests to share this great gift. I leave you with the words, usually the final words, of each and every baptism. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I pray and I hope that your light shines. Amen.